Now, this Tuesday afternoon, Ministers Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers will announce Budget 2026, and it's expected that this budget won't include one-off measures that have been there in previous years. The Minister for Finance saying yesterday there'd be no change to tax bans despite people struggling with the cost of living. Well, yesterday I asked the people in Kilkenny City what supports they'd like to see in Tuesday's budget.
I'd like a reduction in taxes all round. They're just adding taxes upon taxes upon taxes, and it just drives me absolutely cracked.
So what would be your top suggestion to the Minister when he's unfolding the budget next Tuesday?
Any sort of cost of living measures. Everything is just still so expensive. Any support with childcare, mortgage payments, anything really to ease the pressure a bit.
Yeah. What about yourself?
Pretty much the same, yeah. Cost of living, really. Support for workers, yeah.
Anything in particular you'd like to see?
I'd like to see money put towards a proper poll for the reunification of Ireland. I would actually really like for the artist, the grant for the artist, the €325, for that to be implemented properly full time.
Less money on the NFL and more money on housing.
Extra money on the pension because I can't pay my electric.
I would like to see additional supports for children with special needs. I'd have a concern that we don't have enough placements in secondary schools, like autism classes. So there has been a noticeable increase in the availability of children's places in primary schools. But the concern now is that that hasn't followed through into secondary schools.
The minister should give extra money for the carers allowance, and social welfare as well should be getting a budget. And the bonuses for the children should be getting budgets as well.
Very good. Do you have any idea what you'd like to, there's been various kind of arguments about how much the core social welfare rate should go up by, 12, 15 euro.
Should go up at least 20 euros a week.
I'd say to bring back the money off the student fees, definitely for college. And
I said to cut them from three to two again.
They brought them back up again. And more money put in student accommodation.
Take care of working people. We all know that they're being discriminated all the way. I think taking care of our own citizen should always come first. People that work for our taxes, people that actually contribute to the country.
Anything you'd particularly like to see yourself?
I think the senior citizens deserve to have a good package, a good package. And personally, I would rather have seen something being given to everyone around utilities rather than just maybe a €5, given the way things are in the economy at the moment.
Energy credits or something like that?
Yes, definitely energy credits.
The minister stands up next Tuesday. What do you want him to say?
Cut the prices of alcohol, please.
There we go. A range of suggestions from people in Kilkenny City. You won't be keeping all of them happy, Colin Brophy. But what's the principle that will underpin this budget?
Well, I suppose the principle that will underpin this budget is the principle that Pascal, as Minister for Finance, Minister of Public Expenditure, has underpinned all his budgets, which is to have a sensible budget, to have a prudent budget, to protect the economy, to ensure that we support jobs, to try and target and prioritise vulnerable groups to make sure that we're in a position to keep on delivering to them. That would include our pensioners, by the way. It would include family carers. It would include looking particularly at children living in poverty and to target resources and measures into them. We're very conscious of the fact as a government that this is a very difficult economic times which the world is going through. And there are very, very major changes happening in terms of economic uncertainty. So it is in the context of that that I think you will see a very balanced budget, which is focused on protecting our economy. Because at the end of the day, protecting our economy means protecting jobs. And when people have a job, that's the most important thing. And then using the resources we have in a targeted way to ensure that we continue to protect people.
All right. We don't expect you, obviously, to announce the budget on air, but if you have it, feel free. The issue about taxation, Pascal Donoghue saying yesterday that there's unlikely to be any adjustment to personal taxation, income tax, in the next budget. Is that tax bans, tax rates? What are we supposed to understand from that?
Well, again, and thank you for almost saying what I would have to say and have to say now, which is it will be clarified and announced in the budget.
Okay, but the expectations are being managed around the income tax issue.
Exactly. I think what Pascal was basically saying was taking up on the theme which I was talking about earlier, that there is very limited scope. within the overall budget for things in the area of, say, tax cuts. And the priorities need to be focusing on measures that are sustainable, measures that can be delivered on an ongoing basis rather than one-offs, and making sure that there are focused and prioritised messages for people who are at the more vulnerable side. And we are obviously looking at, there's a tax package within every budget, and there are areas which we want to deliver on in terms of protecting jobs, particularly in the hospitality sector.
And that tax package is 1.5 billion. Now, there are varying estimates as to how much a cut to the hospitality, the VAT on hospitality would be from 13.5 to 9%. 870 million in a full year is one of the estimates. 790 million is another estimate. It's a lot anyway. Yes. And it equates to 11,400 nurses, according to the Fiscal Advisory Council, 7,800 teachers, or €3,000 increase in terms of a taxation benefit, a €3,000 annual increase in people's incomes if it was to be deployed in that direction. So people would argue, you know, why give a VAT cut to the hospitality sector when employment has risen in that particular sector, when there's clearly a cost of living crisis out there for other people?
Well, I'll give you 191,000 reasons, which is the 191,000 people that are employed in that sector, who are employed in a sector that's under pressure, and that we are trying to help them to ensure that they stay in jobs. And that means right across our country, it means in a place like Mayo, where there's about 760 people working in hospitality. By the way, most of them work in small businesses. They work in family-run businesses in a lot of instances.
I know, but employment in the sector went up in the first quarter. But it's up 7% in the first quarter of 2025 by comparison to the first quarter of 2024.
The sector is under continuing pressure, and we're looking at how we, as I said, in difficult economic times, use what we can to secure employment in those sectors.
Okay.
And one of the things which has been clearly identified is that a reduction in VAT would have a beneficial interest to everybody who's employed in the sector in terms of keeping those jobs and securing them.
Louise O'Reilly, when that level of a cut in the VAT rate in the hospitality sector is translated into numbers of public servants, 11,400 nurses, 7,800 teachers, to govern is to choose, what choice would you make?
So we set out our alternative budget and we launched it on Thursday. And, you know, this is about, and you're dead right, you know, the budget every year is about choices. The government this year are choosing to pretend that the cost of living crisis is over. The cost of living crisis is not over. I don't know how anyone could suggest it is when there are 330,000 people heading into the winter in arrears on their electricity bills. They need help and they need it now. So when the choices come to be made, you can see the government repeatedly prioritise tax breaks for landlords over, you know, measures for renters. We see them constantly on the side of those who have a lot rather than on the side of those who are struggling.
So no VAT cut as far as you're concerned.
We set out in our alternative budget how the VAT cut can be done just for food businesses only. But when you look at that sector and when you look at the restaurant and the hospitality sector, you find a very high level of low paid employment. So we would also like to see the minimum wage rise by €1 per hour. And a meaningful step taken toward a living wage, which the government keep putting on the long finger, but which workers in every sector, but particularly workers on a low income at or close to the minimum wage.
I just want to go to Michael Collins on this one. Michael Collins, you support the VAT cut. Do you make the distinctions between the types of businesses that would benefit from that cut, the cut you're supporting?
Absolutely. You know, and I'd support what the Minister said a while ago. In fairness, in 2024, there were 600 local cafes closed throughout the country. In the first 3 months of 2025, 150 of those local cafes closed. They are in a desperate position. I've spoken, as I said in the Dáil the other day, I spoke to one of the cafe owners in the last week of July. 2 weeks previous was the first time he was able to take home money, a pay packet for himself. That tells you how desperate they are.
How do you answer the figures from the Labour Force survey that says in the first quarter of 2025, the employment in the sector was up 7% on the same period in 2024?
Yeah, the problem here is that it's you know, this has to be for the food businesses out there. They have to look at this in a more in a bigger light going forward. The government too, that the VAT rate is taking on a huge sector. Like, I'd be very concerned about the major hotels here getting any benefits out of this, because they're definitely taking a lot of money out of people's pockets at this present time and don't need this package. But certainly the small cafes, the food outlets, do need a break here. And if they don't get it, to be honest with you, it's going to lead a mess, because most of these employ 15 or 20 people, and if they don't get that break this time, they're gone, they're closing the doors. They just don't see where they're making profit. Now, the Taoiseach said today or last night or this morning that reduction will have to be passed on to the customer. I don't think most of those businesses can pass it on to the customer, because they're on their knees as it is. They're paying huge energy bills, huge rates. There's so many bills that they have to pay today that they are barely keeping the door open. And if they get this benefit, and it has to be applied immediately, not kicked down the road for 7 or 8 or 9 months. If they do, it just helps them to maybe stave off closure.
I want to go back to what the people in Kilkenny were saying. One of the people I talked to there was talking for an increase in the social welfare rates of €20. Social Justice Ireland were looking for something around the same area, and other parties have been talking about 15, 16, the figure of 12 we've heard is coming out as the one being asked for by the relevant minister, Dara Cailleary, in leaks that have been coming out up to this. What is the expectation there, Colin Brophy? Will there be something?
Well, the expectation is that we will do something, obviously, in terms of targeting and supporting the most vulnerable, as I've said, in putting support in place. I know what has been speculated on. We have to wait until the budget to actually see what will be announced.
And I'm sorry to cut across you, but I just want to dig into that phrase, the most vulnerable, on that. People who are on, say, €244 a week on job seekers are vulnerable in the economy that we live in now. Say Food Ireland survey showed that people are spending a third of their income if they want to buy healthy food for their family. So when you say the most vulnerable, are people on job seekers included in that?
Look, the details of who we will be supporting and how the budget will function will all be done on Tuesday. And
sure,
I know that's the frustration.
No, but I just mean in your analysis, would they be included in the most vulnerable?
But for me, areas around child poverty, areas around our pensioners or senior citizens, these are people who obviously need support. There are many, many sections of society that need help and support. Mm. And what the aim of the budget will be to do is to put in place, rather than one-off payments, is to put in place a structured approach, to put in place a package of increases that can target those who need the most.
And I appreciate you're in a position where you can't announce the budget. I appreciate
correct,
that.
And
that's why I've asked you about the principles underpinning it. Last week on this programme, your ministerial colleague, Robert Troy, said that people on the social housing waiting list, people who are working, should enjoy a greater advantage than those on job seekers benefit, because for some, that's, in his words, a lifestyle choice. Do you agree with that analysis?
I would not make that particular analysis myself, but people are entitled to their own view. My view is that what we do with the budget, and I believe it's what underpins the thinking of both Pascal as the Minister for Finance and Jack as the Minister for Public Expenditure, is to target resources to groups that need them most, and to ensure that at the heart of the underpinning of any budget is the economic underpinning of protecting jobs.
Do you make a distinction between who needs them most, people who are on job seekers and other people who are in receipt of welfare payments?
What I try and look at is how people are in need and how we can help them. And that is the underpinning for me. And that is how I would look at if I was the
Minister.
Okay,
so is that
finance,
a yes or a no?
That is how I would look at it. I don't go into, I look at who has a need and how we can help them, and how we can help them in a sustained way.
Michael Collins, social protection measures in the upcoming budget. Do you make any distinction between the types of people who are in receipt of social welfare supports in the state?
Well, you know, they're saying the budget is going to target those who need it most. And I find it hard sometimes to distinguish who needs it most, to be quite honest with you. And I find it also hard. If the minister said earlier on that they're going to have a balanced budget, when you hear an announcement made yesterday that workers will not see a change in their take-home pay next year, the tax bands, it looks like they will remain the same. And in a year with no energy credits and with a cost of living crisis, these people are in a desperate position.
Okay. But on the social protection measures, does your party draw a distinction between people who are on a job seeker's benefit and people on other forms of social protection payments?
Well, in relation to people that are on welfare payments, the St. Vincent de Paul recommended that they should get a 16 euro increase to keep up with the cost of living that's there. And we would go along the same lines as ourselves. But I would look at the senior citizens of this country who are in a more difficult position, as they obviously can't work and you're retired and are in a very, very difficult position, speaking to so many of them. And we would recommend that there would at least be something up to 20 euros. The Department of Finance yesterday released the white paper published yesterday. They said estimates receipts, the current information forecast surplus of 10.3 billion. This year.
Okay, so you want
7 billion for 2025.
You want just to summarise your position. So 16 euro, you agree with the Vincent de Paul on 16 euro in the core social welfare payments, and an extra 4 on top of that, 20 in for the pensioners. Is that
yes,
in a nutshell?
Especially with a forecast of surplus of 10.3 billion this year. Okay. We need to give it to people that like senior citizens out there that are in a very difficult position.
Okay. And we have that point.
Can't heat the house. Can't put food on the table. That's what.
Okay, Louise O'Reilly, you heard the calls from people in Kilkenny there. The man who said mm-hmm. 20 euro of an increase is what he would need to get by week to week.
And indeed, they also talked about childcare, Colm, the cost of which is out of control, and indeed preventing many parents accessing the place and also being able to afford the place, preventing many parents from being able to actually go to work. So what we had put forward in our alternative budget is an increase for weekly social welfare rates of 15 euros and for disability payments of 20 euros in recognition of the cost of disability. But we also want to extend the fuel allowance to bring more people into the fuel allowance net and extend it by 9 weeks. Coupled with that, we have also put together a cost of living package, because the cost of living crisis is not over, and it cannot be said enough times or loud enough in the hopes that the government will hear this and, turn their face away from telling people just to get on with it, and there's no cost of living crisis. There is a cost of living crisis. It is impacting on people's capacity to heat their homes. So that is why we have included energy credits, which would be of benefit to exactly the people that Michael was talking about there, the people who are worried in their homes that they're not going to be able to heat their homes, or indeed those people heading into the winter already in arrears on their energy bills. Those people need help, and they need that help in the here and now.
All right. Colm Brophy, if there are choices being made and the most vulnerable are being helped, is there no way of doing an energy credits type scheme in a more targeted way than it was introduced the last time to help people who are in arrears? 175,000 people, I think, for gas arrears, and around 300,000 in electricity.
I know that the government, not just at budget time, but at all times, constantly wants to look, monitor and see how we can help people who are experiencing the impacts of the cost of living increases, which we've seen. There's no question about that. What a budget, though, has to look at doing is, which is sometimes what Sinn Féin's budget doesn't do when they announce it, is to make sure that not only do you put in place the resources to deliver something now, but you also make sure that you have a budget that can continue to deliver in the future, and that you underpin that with the type of economic policies attached to a budget that ensure that you continue to have employment. We're very lucky in this country that we have effectively full employment, but that can't be taken for granted. Neither can the economic situation that we find ourselves in globally at the moment, and we must be, as a government, cautious. We are in a position to help people today because of the courageous and correct economic decisions made by Fine Gael and made by Pascal Donoghue, who is Minister for Finance, over many, many years, which give us a situation that we find ourselves as a country able to do things in our budget which other European states look on with complete envy, because they did not make the type of sound economic decisions that we've made over the last decade.
You're being accused effectively of making spending plans based on the savings achieved by previous governments, Louise O'Reilly.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'm not the only person who'd be reluctant to take a lecture in managing the finances from the party that's overseeing the building of the most expensive hospital I think ever built in the world. Runaway costs and being completely out of touch are an absolute hallmark of this government. However, it's all about telling people who are in crisis now that they'll have to exercise a little bit of restraint while at at the same time, you know, there's a bonanza for landlords. We expect another bonanza for landlords in the next budget when it is announced. But in the here and now, people are struggling to pay their bills. And look, it won't be lost on your listeners, Colm, that, you know, at the last election, Sinn Féin were, I'm pretty sure, the only party who went into the election with a comprehensive plan to scale up our businesses and to ensure that we supported Indigenous business, whether that be through employee ownership programmes or indeed workers' co-ops or indeed a third ring for the enterprise agency so that people can scale up and increase employment.
We have another voice. Don't talk across each other. We do have another voice on the line that I want to let in as well. Michael Collins, when the minister sits down next Tuesday, what does he absolutely has to have said in the budget for it to be a fair and just budget, in your view?
Well, once what has been said here today already, that the minister's managing the finances, he's been prudent, he's been careful. But the bottom line, people are suffering. And he has to look into it, where workers, people, the ordinary mother and father going out to work every morning of the week, keeping this country going.
Right. What does that look like in childcare, in your view?
You're looking at, in fairness, you're looking at, is there a housing crisis here? There's childcare fees rocketing through the roof. They need to reduce childcare fees immediately. They need to look at the tax spends for working people. Give working people something to come home to at the end of the week to see that they have something left after the hard week's work.
Once off cost
of living package applies to them also, and they don't qualify for fuel allowance. A lot of them don't qualify for any payments as such, and they have nothing left in their pocket after their hard week's work, and they have to be looked after in this week's budget. And I'm worried with the fact that the minister is saying that he will not change, we'll say, their take home pay and their tax, give them no tax relief. That's not going to happen. All right. Surplus of 10.3 billion.
The government package is about 9.5 billion. There's going to be announced on Tuesday. Sinn Féin's package is 13.5 billion, including capital expenditure there as well. What figure would you put on Independent Ireland's picture on a budget?
Well, first of all, we've been extremely prudent, Independent Ireland. We're not shooting our mouth off, you know.
You've called for a lot of things there. So what's the figure?
We have, yeah. But as I said, there is 10.3 billion surplus. So we're looking at about 9 billion ourselves. That's our package. But there is a 10.3 billion surplus and 8.7 for next year. So, like, you know, we're putting out the best figure here in relation to people that are struggling at this present time, and we need delivery on that. And that's all we're asking for. We're not asking for something exceptional that can't be delivered. We're asking for normal things that shouldn't be delivered.
Okay, well, we started with the voice of people on the street in Kilkenny. We'll conclude this bit with some of the voices via WhatsApp on 0870 32 32 32 and the texts on 51551. Every sector is under pressure, says Cullum. It is just that every sector don't have a strong lobby group. That's a reference to the VAT cut proposal. Eating out, takeaway coffees are optional. Housing for the 5,000 plus homeless children is not. Essential supports for disabled children are not, says Margaret. A few more texts. In my opinion, no aid should be given to any business other than training and entrepreneurship, says Mark. Introduction of VAT relief only on targeted local small businesses. Big ones making huge profits still, says Breda in Dublin. And good afternoon, Cullum. Government have got VAT cut for hospitality all wrong. It doesn't matter how much they cut the VAT rate by. The people can't afford to eat out with the cost of living. So says Michael. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.